Good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we concluded our series we've been calling Too Good to Be True. We concluded with talking about one of, if not the greatest promises of Scripture. We've been saying all along that Jesus keeps his promises, right? The promise of forgiveness, the promise of love, the promise of justice, the promise of significance. But this Sunday, we concluded the series talking about the promise of heaven. This wonderful, wondrous reality that awaits us beyond the grave, right? That when we close our eyes in this life, we'll open our eyes and we'll be with Christ. For all of us who are in Christ, what is promised to us is a forever life with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior. And it is a place where it is wonderful and beautiful and far more significant and joyful than here. And we are in the full presence, experiencing the full presence and glory of God. And so we went to Revelation 21 and 22, and I would encourage you to read those chapters and just note in particular the descriptions of heaven, the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And one of the things, it was really honestly quite beneficial for me this past week to get to read through. I just went and I Googled, you know, what does the Bible say about heaven? And just looked up every single verse that I could find on heaven. OpenBibleInfo, I believe, .com is a great website for that. At least that's one of the ones that comes up when I Google that. And it's such a great thing to just read through every passage of Scripture that references heaven and to see all the ways in which heaven is talked about. And several of the authors that I was reading this week, John Frame, wrote a book called Systematic Theology, Randy Alcorn in a book called Heaven, a guy named Wayne Grudem in another book called Systematic Theology. All of them, I think, referenced in some ways we have kind of an impoverished view of heaven. We have some misconceptions around what heaven is. And I think it was John Frame in particular who said, you know, even the ways in which we talk about heaven within the church sometimes may not be all that helpful. He said a lot of times our discussion around heaven has sort of been around, well, you know, when will Jesus return? And when is the second coming? Can we try to figure that out? Will it be, you know, after the tribulation or before the tribulation, you know, sort of left behind series stuff? And he said, frankly, I'm not sure all that is that helpful. He said, when we see the descriptions of heaven in the Bible, he said, we see this wondrous reality, but he said, I think the purpose of it is to motivate us toward obedience. The idea is that as we draw closer to death, right, we're motivated to sprint toward the finish, in a sense, to say, I want to finish well so I can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's joy. And I think it was Alcorn who said, you know, our impoverished view of heaven, it really negatively impacts our life on earth in the sense that, you know, we're not longing for our eternal home. We're not living for our eternal home. We're kind of clinging to life here and living for here because we don't maybe really believe the best is yet to come. And so I was thinking about an illustration around this, maybe an analogy, and I thought about a marathon runner. And when you watch someone run a marathon, what you see is they speed up toward the end, right? As they approach the finish line, typically they speed up, and you wonder what would make someone speed up after 26.2 miles of running. Like, why all of a sudden are you sprinting? And the answer is, because you see the finish line. And also, you really believe that once you cross that finish line, things are going to get better, right? You believe that the pain is going to end. I'm going to get to eat food again, right? I'm probably going to see my friends and my family and be reunited with them across the finish line. Oftentimes you go on to a party or something like that. You go, you know, get pizza and pop and eat all the food that you've not been eating as you've been training or whatever it may be. But I mean, it's a wonderful time, the sense of accomplishment once you've, you know, crossed the finish line and you're embraced by friends and family and they celebrate with you. You really believe once I cross that finish line, it's going to get better. And conversely, how absurd would it be to see somebody come to the finish line and not because they're physically tired, but because they're afraid of the finish line, they start to slow down and they start to like walk and then crawl and then they, you know, just prolong the process as long as possible and going sideways back and forth, avoiding the finish line. I mean, we would look at that and say, what are you doing, right? I mean, the whole point is to cross the finish line and go on to what's next. And I think in some ways, maybe when we look at the church, when we look at ourselves as believers and how we approach death, It's a little bit like that. I really think that, and hear me say this very clearly, I'm not saying that we're excited about death in the sense that like, hey, I want to die, but rather that we are certainly not fearful of death. That there's a joy with which we can approach death because we know, man, what's waiting on across the finish line is so much better. This is what we see in Scripture, right? Paul saying that I know to be away from the body means to be present with the Lord. He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. I really believe that we as Christians, we should approach death radically different than the way that the world does. I think when the world looks at us as the church, the world should say, man, these Christians seem to approach death so differently. They don't seem fearful of it. They don't seem so afraid. They don't seem to avoid it at all costs, but rather they can even approach the end of life with a type of joy, with a serious joy about going and meeting our Savior, Christ. And so I think, again, to think about that analogy with the marathon, right? That idea of sprinting through the finish, of finishing well. My hope for myself, my hope for all of us is that we think about our lives, we think about it in light of heaven, we begin to reprioritize in light of heaven, live differently in light of heaven. And then, you know, for some of us who may be approaching more the end of life, that there's not that paralyzing fear. I hope for myself, right, when I approach the end of my days, that it's not a paralyzing fear, but rather a sustained joy as we approach the finish line, that we finish well, and we say, I know that what awaits me on the other side is so much better than here. I know that I am heading not toward the end, but toward my true and my eternal home. I hope that encourages you today. I hope you'll take some time to think about, right, the ways in which you are living. Think about how to reprioritize in light of heaven to do what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Don't lay up treasures for yourself here on earth where the moth and rust destroys, the thief breaks in and steals, but rather lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Invest in the things that matter eternally and look forward to what is to come. Let me pray for you and take some time and pray for yourself. Father, we as a culture are very uncomfortable talking about, thinking about death. But Father, I think we as a Christian culture, Father, as believers, as the church, God, I think we should approach it differently than the greater culture does. We need not fear it, for death has lost its sting and death has lost its victory. And so I pray, Father, for everyone listening this morning who is a believer in Christ, I pray if they're not, Lord, that they would come to know you even now, Lord, and recognize that you have promised eternal life in Christ through the forgiveness that is offered in him. And Lord, I pray that for those of us who have trusted you with our lives, God, you would give us such a great and wonderful view of heaven, a robust biblical view of heaven. And Lord, it would spur us on toward living our lives here in light of our life there. And God, I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Take some time and pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.